Never mind, Daddy. Time.
Wait, Robbie. So you based on these?
Yeah, 6 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of the discussion, which is taking place about the Nes, the miraculous events surrounding Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah.
Who?
Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were taken into captivity after the destruction of the first place of Mikdash. They were taken to the palace of Nebuchadnezzar. They were raised there. There's a lot of parallels between them and Esther. They ate beans, Esther ate beans.
Beans?
Yeah, seeds. There's a minig, and the Ramah brings down a minig on Purim night. It's one of the few minhagim we have on Purim night. Purim night is no chiv suda matan sevienim shleich oneus. Purim night is a chiv to eat a Megillah. There's a halacha to wear big day Shabbos and to eat seeds. That's what brought down the halacha.
Big day Shabbos. People wear this.
Shut up.
Okay.
Who is this big day Shabbos?
It's brought down to bring beer, you should wear big day Shabbos. And eat seeds. Why do we eat seeds? Because Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, when they were in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar, that's all they ate. They ate seeds. And they didn't get sick from it. And they were thrown into a furnace, and they didn't get sick from that either. Because they refused to bow down to the idol. They're the only three that were there that didn't bow down out of all the myriads of Klal Yisrael. Tana Rabbanan, Rabbanan taught. Shisha Nisim Nasbe Sayyayim. There are 6 miracles that happened on that day. Ve'elohen, and these are they. Safa Kivshan. The Kivshan floated up. This was an oven that was sunk into the ground. It was an oven that you couldn't see it. You know, I guess it had some kind of door and you put things in, but if you were standing around it, you couldn't see what was going in the Kivshan, in the oven. And Hashem wanted everyone to see what was going on inside the oven. So the oven rose up out of the ground. That's miracle number one. Benifrat Kivshan. It collapsed. I mean, the walls fell away from the side of the oven. It's just enough of the Kivshan that was necessary for people to see fell apart, disintegrated. Like the oven as a whole still retained its shape. There was still fire inside, but just what was necessary to fall apart to enable people to see what's going inside fell apart. Miraculous. Because you can have a kivshan, an oven, above ground, but if the door is closed, they can't see what's going inside. And Hashem wanted them to see. So it discombobulated. The heat was so strong that all the plaster, the coating on it, melted. So people shouldn't say the reason why they're not getting burnt is because the fire's not high. Yeah, it's a kind of a cold flame. Plaster got burnt up and melted. It got burnt. Plaster got burnt. But Nepak Telem Apana, the Avodah Zarah that they were being commanded to bow down to, fell over. It was made of gold, a golden idol. It tipped itself over. Venison for Abba Malchias, 4 kings got burnt up. Because the Nebuchadnezzar had Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah thrown in, and he did it with the assistance of 4 kings. And we'll get to the significance of that.
4 kings?
Yes, there were 4 kings under the Nebuchadnezzar.
The
and they're the ones that did it. So Ellie's already asking a question, how many people does it take to do it? It wasn't just the 4 kings, it was all their soldiers, all their minions. They all got burnt up. Anyone that had a hand in tossing Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in there got burnt up. No, he didn't. Nebuchadnezzar said, Nebuchadnezzar lived. V'hechi Yechezkel Zameisim V'Bikas Dura. And Yechezkel went to resuscitate the dead in the plains of Dura. That we discussed yesterday and the day before. Bakula Gemara, and the source of all of these things is the Misara. Gemara means that, how do we know that these Nisim happened? They're not in the Psukim. It's not written in Sefer Daniel. We know them because of a Misara from Rebbe to Talmud, father to son. It's Torah Shebal Peh. Va'abra Malki is, but the complicity of the four kings, Kra, that's a pasuk. Dixiv Nebuchadnezzar, Malka, king of Nebuchadnezzar, Shalach, he sent Lemichnash together, La'achaz Darpanya, Skanya, Pachvasa, Adragaziriya, Gadbari, Tavra, Taptia, Rakol Shultan Imidinsa. So it lists a whole bunch of people. Uksiv, and then it says after they threw Hanani Mishal Vazai in, eat the Gurban Yudayan, with me at a Jewish man, Uksiv Miskanshin, we gathered a Cheshdapanas, Ganya, Pachvasa, Bahadbari Malka, Kazien Legavra Elich. And if you make a calculation, you'll see that there's four kings in the second Sukkim that are missing. Because there's four kings that were gathered together that are no longer with us because they were burnt. Seder.
These are they're more than one people, though, each one.
You look up the Pesukim, you find...
these nobles, etc.
Yeah, they're all dead.
All plural, though.
Yeah, they're all dead. Tanna Reb Eliezer ben Yankiv, Afila B'shas Sakana, even at time of great personal danger, Lo Yishana Adam Atzim Min HaRabbanis. He shouldn't deviate from his nobility. I mean, it's a phenomenon, a common phenomenon, when someone, even someone that's notably royal or noble, that when it comes down to if he finds himself under the threat of execution or death, so he loses it. He just loses it. All the nobility collapses like an empty shell. He starts yelling and screaming and banging his head against the wall and ripping himself and mutilating himself. Okay, by the time of the execution, so then there's no semblance, there's no remnant of his former self. Upon threat of death, he loses all his trappings of nobility of Malchus. Death will do that to someone. He's going to die, so then this is all worthless. It's nothing. You see the pictures of Saddam Hussein when he came out of the bunker and he was hiding. I have them. His beard was unkempt. He was wearing, he was wearing torn clothing. He looked like a wreck. He was a wreck. Now, it could be that he did that to disguise himself, but imagine he just lost it. He was the melech. He was the melech of Iraq. And he had the powers of a melech. But when you're on the run, when you're scared rabbits, and then you lose it. And the Gemara is telling us, no. Someone that's a melech is a melech to the very end. He's a melech when he's in power, and he's the same melech when he's about to lose his life. And Hanani Mishael Vazaya did it. They walked into the furnace like they're taking a stroll in the palatial gardens. Shenemar, Braden, Gavri, these men, Eilech, Kofsa, B'Savaleim, they're wearing, these are all clothing. Savaleim, Pashteim, and Krablasom, these are items of clothing. They didn't take off their royal garments, they went straight into the fire, they walked like that. I'm Rav Yechanan. Gedolim tzaddikim yesem malachi yasharis. Tzaddikim are greater than angels. Tzaddikim are greater than angels. Shalema Amar ve'amar, he said, ha'anachaz yesua gufin arba. I saw four men. Hanani Mishova Zaya. Four men. Saw four men. Nahakam Beganura, they're walking in the fire. Bechavel Isbahan, they're not getting burnt. Barava Dervia. And the fourth one, Dami Labali Alokin. He looked like an angel. So he saw four men, three of them were Hanani Mishal Vazaya, and the fourth one looks like an angel. Now in the Torah, when you list things that way, there's the 1, 2, 3, 4, the Chashuva ones come first. So the fourth one's an angel, you see he's listed last. Why? Because Hanani Mishal Vazaya Tzadikim, and they're greater than angels. Amrav Tanchim Bachani Loi. B'shoshi yetzach anani mishal v'zayim mekiv shen eish, when they came out of the furnace, ba'al kolumas ha'ilam, all the nations assembled, v'tavkul shenayim she Yisrael apneyim, and hit the Jews on the face. So neyim she Yisrael is a euphemism. It means the Jews. But the Gemara doesn't want to say that they hit the Jews in the face, because it's not nice to say that. So it says instead that they hit the Jew haters in the face. But the intention, the kavana, the mechuvin is the Jews. They hit the Jews. Amalehem, and the Goyim said to them, "Yesh lachem alayka kazeh, you have a God like this. Ba'atam mishtachem v'tzelem, and you bow down to an idol? What's wrong with you people?" The Goyim hit the Jews. You don't know what you have.
Man, those non-Jews cannot make up their minds.
Yeah, well, it's very easy to make a short lasting impression on non-Jews. We learned that in Sefer Yena. The reason why it's easy to make a short lasting impression in non-Jews is because they know that it's not going to last. So it doesn't obligate them. A Jewish person, when he becomes affected by something, so then he has a commitment to change his life. So he's not going to let it affect him. I'll give you an example. You have a guy from a modern Orthodox family. There's five brothers in the family. Four of them go to Israel, one after another. And they all throw them out. And they become really stark. And they did Shana Bet. And they did Shana Gimel. And the oldest one's in Kailul. And he grew a beard and pace. And all they do is learn, you know. Child number five is in Israel now. There is no way you're going to get through to that guy to flip his wig in the first 8 months of the year. Maybe at the end of Shana Bet, you know? Why? Because he knows exactly what's going on. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that if he doesn't party, you know, the partying is his way of holding on to himself. If he doesn't party, and he starts going to chakras, and he starts learning, and he asks questions in sheer, and he has a Musa Seder or something like that, he knows exactly where he's going to end up, and he doesn't want to go there yet. The Gaim don't have this problem. The guy can flip because you know why? Because to Gaim it's all a game of Othello. You know what Othello is? I'll flip right back in two moves, you know? Okay, so you put your one white thing in one eye thing, now you flip? You turned over 10 of my things? So I'll put a black thing here, a black thing there, I'm going to take the whole board, it's Othello. But they hit them. Miyad Pascha V'yemes, the Jews opened up their mouths. And they said, something opened up inside of them. Pascha means something opened up. The Goyim succeeded. It penetrated. The Goyim penetrated. The Jews said, even the Goyim see it? So the Goyim, they caused the Jews to go a level deeper, to go a notch deeper. L'chosha metztoka. God, you are righteous. V'lona b'yis apanim. And our face should be covered in shame. Kayem is here today. Better late than never. Amar b'yenison. Maidach seva marti. I said. Amar b'yenison. What's meant by the pasuk Amarti? I said, Ela b'tama, I'm going to go up on the date tree, on a palm tree. I'm going to climb up. Exa b'santanova, I'm going to hold on to its branches.
Oh,
is it
like the kids one?
What is that?
It's awesome. It's hysterical.
It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu talking. Amarti is, I said, it's a Kaddish Baruch Hu talking. Amarti, I said, Ela B'tama, I'm going to go up in the date front. Ela Yisrael. That means that all of Klal Yisrael are going to be vehicles to carry God in this world. All of Klal Yisrael is going to be the branches that Kadosh Baruch Hu's honor is going to rest upon them. They're going to bear the torch of God's honor. And they're going to instill the world, they're going to invigorate the world with covet of Hashem, by manner of their conduct. The world's going to look at Klal Yisrael and going to say, wow, what a godly people. What a great God they must have. Look how great God is because of His servants. You know, if you go to Williamsburg, you get a flat tire, and a Satmar Chassid, you never knew any Satmar Chassidim in your life, and the guy stops, and he calls a tow truck for you, or he pulls out, you want to change the tire, and he says, don't get your hands dirty, I'll do it for you. He pulls out the jack. He does it. Then calls his wife up, and she brings you something to drink. There's one thing that's, you're not just going to think he's a great guy. And, wow. How great was the Satmar Rebbe? He was able to instill this in his Chassidim. You're going to have a new respect for Chassidim. V'yachshav? But now, Klal Yisrael didn't do it. They bowed down to the idol. They didn't do it. They bowed down. Loyola b'yolio sansan echod. Only got one branch, one little bud. A twig. Shachanani Mishal Vazayah. My Rebbe Reb Moshe, he told us over something. I don't remember who he said it in the name of. It could be the Arizal. I think it was the Arizal. That Ela B'tama is referring to all of Klal Yisrael. And all of Klal Yisrael has four. Klal Yisrael is divided into four groups. Those that have Torah and mitzvahs. Those that have Torah and don't have mitzvahs. Those that have mitzvahs and don't have Torah. And those that don't have Torah or mitzvahs. All of Klal Yisrael is divided into four groups. And those represent what? What do those four groups represent? Where are they represented in our mitzvah observance? Jews have Torah and mitzvahs, Torah without... Where? No, does anybody know? Nobody knows! The four species. Esrog, Lulav, Hadas, Arava. Esrog has a taste and a smell. Arava doesn't have a taste or a smell. The Lulav has a taste without a smell, and the Hadas has a smell without a taste. So Yav Aminim comprise Klal Yisrael. You look at this pasuk, it says Ela B'tama. Ela is Aleph, Ayin, Lamed, Hey. That's Esrog, Arava, Lulav, Hadas.
Nice.
Amar B'yekanon. I'm Rabbi Yechonon. My next ever is here, Lila. I saw at night, Vina Ish, and I see a man. Reichav al Sus Edim. He's riding on a red horse. Huayman ben Adasim, he's standing among the myrtle branches. Asheb ben Mitzula, which is in the marsh. What is this? That's Rabbi Yechonon's kasha. Zechariah Navi said this. I saw a man riding on a red horse among the marshes. Between the middle, among the myrtle branches and the marshes. Myra Isia Lila, what does it mean I saw night? What does it mean when a Navi says he saw night? Because a Kadosh Baruch Hu Lapik is called Alun Kula Lila. It means he saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu sought, he desired to turn the whole world to night. Because they bowed down to the idol in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. That means to destroy the world. Bnei Ish Rechiv, and there's a man riding. Ein Ish El HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The word Ish means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, Hashem Ish Mechama, Hashem Shema. Hashem is called an Ish. Alsus Adoim, on a red horse. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lapik is Ailam Kulul Adam. He wanted to turn the world into blood.
Is that another form of destruction?
Yes.
That's related to the Dam by the Nile. Besides the fact that both of them are Zohar.
What?
That's related to the Dam by the Nile, besides the fact that they're both of them are Zohar.
I don't know. Did I say that?
It has to be related.
Well, blood is going to be related to any blood. His mind cooled off. So you see that this drama of Hanani Mishal Vazaya going into the Kibshon Eish, there was another drama unfolding in Shemayim at the same time. That all of Klai Yisrael were under a death sentence. And they were saved because of Hanani Mishal Vazaya. Shenemar? Ben Adasim, he's standing among the myrtle branches, Asheber Metzula in the marsh. Ben Adasim el Tzadikim, myrtle branches of Tzadikim. Shnemar, Vahi Omen, Mordechai was raising. As Hadassah, he Esther, and she was a Tzadikis. And her name was Hadassah because she was a Tzadikis. Ben Metzula el Abavel, the marshland is Babylonia. Shnemar, Omer Letzula. He said about the marshes, Karbi, should dry out. The Narasayich and the rivers, Ivish, I'm going to dry out. Miyad Malayim Regis.
Hi, Pastor.
One second. Miyad Malayim Regis. He's filled with anger. The Pasuk says, you see the Pasuk's talking about Babel, I'm going to dry it up. He's filled with anger. Nasim Shukim, a diamond. And things turn colored and red. Nasim Levanim, but in the end it's white. Amra Papa Shmamina, receiving this Susa Chivra, a white horse, Malo Lechelma, is good for a dream. Red horses are bad and white horses are good. Right. Let's talk a little about this. I mean, there's a lot to talk about.
They have come here with it.
Thank you. this incident with the Kipchoge is a recurring theme. Something which happens again and again in Klal Yisrael. Migdal Bavel. There was a structure in Bavel. The structure in Bavel was built with the goal that the entire world would worship there. Everyone. Migdal Bavel.
Worship who there?
Worship the Avodah Zarah at the top. Worship the Migdal. The entire world came together, Actus, unity, to worship at the Migdal Bavel.
I have to be on
Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he created the world in stages.
The Pasuk says,
Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Ves HaAretz, Ba'aretz Haisa. Tayu, Vayu, Bechayshech, Apnei Sahim. It's four things. Tayu and Vayu. Tayu, Rashi says, Tzimulasim Mishta'eh. It's like the expression that Eliezer had when Rivka filled up his water for him and for the camels. Like, Mishta'eh means bewilderment, beyond description. So Hashem created something which was beyond description. Vayu, Rashi says, means emptiness, which is another form of being beyond description. Can't describe emptiness. Chayshek is darkness. It's also something which is beyond description. It's dark. How do you describe it? Tahaim, it's something very deep. You can't describe it because it's removed from you. So it's four negatives. Four formless entities. And they're all different from one another. It's possible to be formless in four different ways. And I'll give you an example. Someone could be formless. I'll use lying as an example. You had a bar mitzvah. They're serving not kosher food. And you don't tell anybody. You're withholding the information. That's one type of formlessness. Kashrus is a form. There's a set standard. This you eat, this you don't eat. But you're leaving it formless because eat everything without regard for what you're eating. So you're leaving it formless. You're leaving it without any description, without any rules. That's one kind of formlessness. Another kind of formlessness, you tell people it's kosher. That's distortion. So the first form is withholding information. The second form is distorting. The third type of formless is you give people a drug so they have no idea what they're eating. So it's putting a mask over. Just give me examples. I'm not matching them up to the pasuk because I don't know what they are. But there's four different types of formlessness. And then the pasuk continues. Ruach Elokim rachefes al pnei ha'mayim. You figure one out. You do some work. Ruach Elokim rachefes al pnei ha'mayim. The ruach, the spirit.
Isn't the ruach also formless?
Oh no. Maybe in physical sense, but the ultimate form is not physical. Oh no. V'ruach Elokim rachefes al pnei ha'mayim. And the spirit of Elokim is hovering over the water. What does hovering over the water mean? We spoke about this. We talked about the tzaddikim, that Hashem makes them wings and they fly over the water. Because water is the ultimate in formlessness. Why is it the ultimate in formlessness? Does anybody know?
Well, yeah, it's a shapeshifter.
Right, it's a shapeshifter. Hey. So Ruach Elokim Rachev is up near Maya means that there's something called the Ruach Elokim. It's hovering over the water, which means it's distant from the water. It's over the water because this is form. This is form. Now we can understand this pasuk in so many different ways, and they're all true. The most basic way is that Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in stages. That when Hashem created the tree, or when Hashem created igneous rocks, so first He created them in a way that there was no form. Now when we say there's no form, that's something that is beyond our ability to comprehend. Because we can only perceive, we can only relate to forms. Could you imagine gathering evidence, making, having a perception of something that has no form whatsoever? Modeling clay has a form. It might not be one that's lasting, but it has a form. Think about it. Is your mind open to this?
What?
Could you form an image of your mind of something that has no form? So image was a stage in creation that could not be absorbed by the five senses. That means it has no form to see, smell, touch, feel, hear. There's no form to it. Music has a form. Notes. There's a point where it starts and where it stops. It goes up and it goes down, and there's a pattern. Music without a form can't be heard. There's nothing to hear.
Music.
What?
It's not music.
Right. I mean, you could even use a very grubber example to this. They have anti-noise machines to block out all noises. All it is a steady hum or a buzz. I mean, it's like an anti-noise. There's no form to it, so it doesn't allow you to hear anything. You can't hear anything. And then Hashem created the final form of the world. And the final form is a spiritual thing. It's not a physical thing. Everything has a physical component and a spiritual component. The physical component has no form, and the spiritual component is what grants it its form. And this is true of people as well. People also fall into one of these five categories. You have four different types of formless people, or formless nations, or formless kingdoms. And each one of them is dedicated to avoiding forms. There's four different ways to avoid. If your mother makes you go to school, your father makes you go to school, your primary caregiver makes you go to school. So you could ditch, just stay home. Or you could tell her you're going and then go somewhere else. Or you can go to school and hide in the bathroom the whole time. There's different ways to absolve yourself of responsibility. If you don't want to do your job, so you can play computer games on your screen all the time. And then there's a boss key, you press control, yeah. And then all of a sudden a data screen just comes right up there.
Yeah.
There's different ways of avoiding. There's different ways of avoiding responsibility. Somebody that's dedicated to being a formless blob, you can make a religion out of it. I don't believe in responsibility. Responsibility is evil. We worship couches in our religion. Couches are good.
Couches
are good.
Keeping it warm.
You lie on the couch. You get you sink into the couch. You absorb. You get absorbed by the couch. You become one with the couch. You meditate. You just. It's all beautiful. It's all oneness. Right. I could even do that. Right. So there's different ways of avoiding form. And the truth is there's countless of different ways. But all the different ways of avoiding authority is going to fall under one category. Four categories. And the moral explains it. It makes sense because there's one authority, and you want to break away from the one authority, so there's only four ways to go. You know, either in front of it, behind it, to the right of it, to the left of it. Except one, when it's broken up, is always broken up into force. In front of you, behind you, to the right, or to the left. And Ra talks about this in Kanaka. He talks about Daniel a lot. And that's why there's four kingdoms. Those four kingdoms are represented, at least openly represented.
War.
Parshas Lech Lecha. It's in Parshas Lech Lecha. There are five kings that were captured by the four kings. Who were the four kings? Anybody know who the four kings are? Amraphel? Amraphel, the king of Shinar. Ayok, the king of Elasar. Kedalam, the king of Elam. And Siddal, the king of Goyim. Shinar? Amraphel, the word Amraphel means to make four. So he's the king that threw Avraham Avinu into the fire, to the furnace. Sound familiar? Nimrod. Amraphel means four. Four. Amraphel. Four. King of Shinar, what's Shinar? Shinar means the collective basin. Things rolled there. Place where all the dead people from the Mabo, and there were a lot of dead people. There were 20 generations, there were 10 generations of people. A lot of people, they rolled down to the lowest place, a real low place. A place that's a marshland, wetlands. They'd be protected by a constitutional amendment. Wetlands. Shinar means place where the dead people die. That's Babel, it's Babylonian. That's why Babylonia is a marshland. Today's Gemara. Nimrod was the king of Babel. Nimrod made Avraham Avinu fall into the fire. Ayach Melech Elasar. What's Elasar? Madai. How about that? Paras and Madai. Kedar La'omer the king Melech Elam. Elam? Greece. Siddal Melech Goyim. Goyim is all the nations together without any national identity. That's Rome. That's the Holy Roman Empire. They captured light. And Avram defeated them. Babel, Paras and Madai, Yavon, and Rome. In Babel. Who's the first one mentioned? Babel. Migdal Babel? Was in Babel. Everyone should gather around.
Was it about
gather around the central point. That's time. Gather around the central point. Everyone come together from the four corners of the earth. What was their punishment? They were scattered to the four corners. What was their crime? Did they gather from the four corners around the whatchamacallit? By Migdal Babel, the Pirkei Avot said they tried to get Avram. Avram ran out of there. In Parshas Lech Lecha, they tried to get light. Avram pulled him out of there. And now Nebuchadnezzar came again. They tried to take all of Klal Yisrael. All of Klal Yisrael is Avram, right? If you get all of Klal Yisrael, it's the same as getting Avram. I mean, we can't go into these things by Rikos, but you know light is the Zaydi of Mashiach. Right. So in the Migdal Babel, they tried to get Avram. And by the war, they tried to get Mashiach. Here in Nebuchadnezzar, they tried to get all of Klal Yisrael, which is Avram and Mashiach. And they keep popping out. Avram popped out of the Migdal Babel. Light was popped out of the war. And Hanan and Mishael B'Zayah came out over here. I'm not giving this topic the respect it deserves. But as far as what we need to know for the Gemara, I think we have enough. So now you can understand why It took four kings to throw Hanani, Mishael, Azariah into the fire. Because the rest of Klal Yisrael had already bowed down, so they were burnt. They were pwned. And these three holdouts would not bow down. So you have to get rid of them. You have to put them in the fire. You have to obliterate Klal Yisrael. Why? The dream that Nebuchadnezzar saw a dream and Daniel interpreted. He saw a man, the head was gold, the top head, the shoulders, the arms, and the torso was silver. Then the lower part of the body was copper. The feet were clay, I think.
It was iron, Barzel and Sun.
What? Earthenware and Barzel put together. And these represent the four nations. Bava, Parsa, Madai, Yavan, and Rome. But the head, the golden head, is Bava. Bava's the root. The excess of evil, we'll call it. They're at the head of the excess of evil. It's Babel. It's Saddam, Iraq. You know what I mean? It's not a coincidence that evil against Klal comes from Babel. That's where it comes from. Mitzapan tipata haroa. Evil comes from the north, from the northern kingdom, from Babel. That's the opposite of Achdus. They have Achdus. They're divided into four. They're dedicated to preserving the religion of fourism. What's religion of fourism? Religion of fourism is that you can do what you want. You can be at opposite poles of each other, whatever you want. You can go to this extreme or that extreme, to the right, to the left. They worship fourism, fourosity. And they come together as one to preserve the four. It's the ultimate. They're using actors to preserve. What? It's the ultimate. It's like liberals getting together to perpetuate liberalism and imposing the restrictions on each other in the pursuit of liberalism. It's a self-contradiction, but they do it. It's only a temporary alliance, the axis of evil. And they look at their man. What's man? Man is someone that can do what they want. We can go to the north, we can go to the south, we can go to the east, we can go to the west, we can go to the front, we can go to the back, go to the right, we can go to the left. We can do whatever we want. We got all the basic covenants, all legitimate, everything is legitimate. We are man. And that's when Nebuchadnezzar saw his dream in the shape of a man. So if they're man, who's not man? The ones that say, no, you can't go to the right, you can't go to the left, you can't go to the forward, you have to be in the center. That's man. It's a machlokes between the four-oisms and the one-oisms. Who's man? You ever play King in a Mountain? Well, there's a mountain. There's only room for one person on top of the mountain. And someone's there. And you want to be on the mountain. Yeah, you have to. Or you ever saw the westerns? This town ain't big enough for the both of us. But why can't we like share of it, you know? No, it's not big enough for the both of us. All your base belong to me. Oh, all your base.
Your base?
Right? Yes. Do you understand? So that means if Avraham Avinu doesn't join in the Migdal Babel, so he's still standing on the mountain. If Mashiach is going to come out of Loit, then Klal Yisrael is still on the mountain. If they get the entire Klal Yisrael to bow down except for the three tzaddikim, then they're still on the mountain. So you have to burn them. And who's going to do it? The four who come together as one to burn them. But they got pwned. They got burnt. Chazal say that the four kings were further away from the fire than Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were in the fire. And the kings kept to a safe distance. And the fire burned them to a crisp and had no effect on Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. So what's going on here is relevant to Tchias HaMeisa.
Wasn't being floated up.
This is Geula. This is the ultimate redemption. Okay. Seder?
What is it that it floated up?
It means it came out of the ground.
They wouldn't have hit the ground.
It was like sunken into the ground.
Because I know they. I remember saying that they fell into the. That was the last question. They fell into it. And they had no wound, even though they fell into it. Shut up. So if it was deep, then Zayas actually lifted it up.
They put them in, they fell into it, and after they were in it.
Yo, wait, buddy.
Okay, what's it called? What's up with the god Real? Why is it?
Real's made us a din.
But how could fire cool off fire?
Did you record yesterday?
Well, fire in the Memphis.
Rabbi, you said fire. You said in one shear fire can't burn fire.
Tell the Kosh Baruch Hu. Did we learn the command yet? We'll get to that.
Rabbi, you said in the first shear fire can't burn fire.
Yo, god Real told the Kosh Baruch Hu. That would be the one to do it, because if Mikal does it, then of course, you know, water puts out.
I'm never going
to
hear
you. But I am going to do something which it's like a Fatava, so I don't have to explain.
You're going
to
get bagels from Tav.
That was what Gabriel realized, that Gabriel was, Gabriel was there?
Because the Yisrael Dabri is that...
Really big favor?
No.
Even though things have a nature, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu set their natures, and the nature of fire is not to put out fire. But at the Sherish of things, fire does the son of Hashem.
In both places.
And at the very Sherish, if Hashem wants fire to put out fire, so it's equally as acceptable as water putting out fire. Just in the meantime, Hashem doesn't want that.
I know, I was going to say, I need a...
So that's the ultimate gili in Kiyam Ritzon Hashem. That's like Malchus Baruch. They're made shalom with each other, because if the cherish of all things is Ritzon Hashem.
Doing it after night.
And water doesn't put out fire because it's what it does, water puts out fire because Hashem wants water to put out fire.
If I do it in white on the cardboard, I'll see it better.
It's the same thing. They were showing the world that it's on a shame.
Are we doing a sale for tonight?
So doesn't mean that all Midos of Hashem are just his Ratzon, or they're actually part of his essence?
We don't know what Hashem's that's it. They're all his Ratzon.
I'm going to do
so he could decide to have different Midos?
A lot of
yes.
That's very strange.
I think we don't know anything about Hashem. We don't know about his Midos.
This was all the reality.
We don't have any Shaq. Not when we're alive. Only when we die.
But it's all Emes though, right? Whatever he does, it has to be Emes.
It's according to the rules that he wants. It's Emes according to his rules.
You mean his dad? He came to my uncle's college.
It's Emes according to Hashem's rules.
For a weekend. He's so different. Like, he's not like... Hilarious
for recording?
Like,
I thought the other one was
cool. He's just like really cool.
I get everything, you know?
Full Shem Rabbi, and have a good night. And, we'll see
you tomorrow. Can I ask you something before you go?
You want me to turn this off for you, Ali?
No, I don't know.
You want he still has questions that he wants to get in
on. Good luck with that. And,
Brian, are you going upstairs now?
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. In that dream, instead of a hand formed a mountain, right? That mountain, like, was the fourth mountain, I think. It's interesting, you said mountain.
It's
Gezeres
Evan. It's a high place, it doesn't have room at the top above.
Yeah, it's interesting. You have a stone, that's something came mountain, I have to find it.